Just in time for the Christmas season, we've produced a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. and our sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 25th and January 1st. Talk radio and sacred music for the Christmas season. Issuesetc.org. Click support.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Of course, Jesus does not have to pass through the Samaritan area, much less come close to a Samaritan village, in order to get where he's going. There are ways around that. In fact, the average Jew probably would have found a way around Samaritan territory and a way of avoiding interaction with the Samaritan, much less a Samaritan woman. And the kind of woman that Jesus interacts with here is, well, even among the Samaritans, probably not very reputable at all. In fact, disreputable. And she'd earned that reputation. There's no doubt about that. How does Jesus deal with her? Why does he deal with her the way he does? We're going to be talking about Jesus and the Samaritan woman there in John chapter 4. It occupies the better part of that chapter. Pastor Tom Baker joins us on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 21st. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
So Jesus could have found a way easily. I'm sure that there were clearly marked roads around Samaritan territory so that Jews could avoid interacting with Samaritans that they generally looked down on. Why does Jesus not avoid not only the Samaritan territory, but this woman as well?
Chapter 4 begins with Jesus learning that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although John puts in parenthesis that Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples. And therefore he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. Now, the question is, why did he go through Samaria? There was another way. Jesus, as we're going to see, does have a divine understanding of this woman at the Samaritan well. And it kind of reminds me of how many coincidences have occurred where I've gone to the hospital and I may be doing a devotion for one of the members of the congregation I'm serving, and all of a sudden, after I'm done the devotion and a prayer, individual in the bed next to them says, Pastor, could you explain what you said about this, or could you have a prayer for me? And after I leave there, I know that God led me to that hospital to do witnessing to that person. He set it up. And so the answer I would give is that it doesn't take very long at all before we know that Jesus already knows things about her. Having been married to five husbands, the person she's living with now is not her husband. So my answer to your question, Todd, would be that God goes where he needs to go in order to bring in the elect. And as we're going to see, not only her, but the entire village becomes believers in Jesus Christ. So I believe that, like many other events in the historical life of Jesus, things are set up by God to fulfill his purposes in bringing in the elect.
Why did the Jews have such low regard for, I mean, they had low regard of Gentiles, but Samaritans kind of got singled out by Jews of this time. Why is that?
Yes, the Samaritans were those who had intermarried. They were Gentiles originally, and then they intermarried with Jews. And Jews were not supposed to marry foreigners, and that's how the Samaritan nation kind of came together. They did worship the God of the Old Testament, but they had a different place in Samaria for their worship. And so Jesus is meeting someone who also not only doesn't have much respect for Judaism or the Jews, but also is really surprised that when Jesus asks her for a drink, she says, "How is it you that you are a Jew ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" We already know with some radical Islamic individuals, boy, if their women even talk to a stranger, they can be punished. And so here Jesus is talking to someone who is not really part of the Jewish nation, and she herself is surprised.
This is going against everything that one would expect of a devout Jewish rabbi, and the woman comes, and she seems to kind of be somewhat happy to avoid interaction with Jesus, but Jesus initiates the interaction with her.
Yes, we remember from Simeon's song when Jesus was in the temple that he's coming not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. And so when that song occurs, he is to be, and I'm reading here from Luke 2, verse 31, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. So the point I would be trying to get across to the Sunday school children is that the message of Jesus Christ is not just for believers or Christians. It's also for anyone else that is in the world, because Jesus died not only for the elect, but he died for all.
She is interested in this conversation because he's asked for a drink. Does the issue, and the conversation centers around the water, and not so much the water in the well, but the water Jesus is talking about. Does that connect to that baptism issue that was raised earlier in John chapter 4 and John chapter 3?
Yes, because when Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, living water has two meanings. It's either fresh running water, in contrast to the stagnant water that might be at the bottom of the well. Remember, she had come to draw water. But it also, living water, refers to the life given by God. She is thinking he's talking of the former one, because she says, "But you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where did you get that living water?" It kind of reminds you of the previous chapter where, of course, guess what? He doesn't realize what being born again means. And even though he is a teacher of the law, Jesus says to Nicodemus, you know, you need to be born again of water and the Spirit. And that is, in this context, as you well said, Todd, the meaning of living water that Jesus is speaking to her about.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 21st, Jesus and the Samaritan Woman at the Well in John chapter 4. Pastor Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Thank you for donating more than $100,000 to Issues Etc. in the past month. And with 2 weeks left in 2016, we're $18,000 short of expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues, Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues, Etc. at the end of the year.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. Tom, there's an identity question here. Not only who the woman is, Jesus knows who she is. She's trying to figure out who he is. They have a lot of theological questions. And then at some point, Jesus actually uses, and in John's Gospel, this is pretty important, some very significant words to identify himself. Talk about that.
Yes. When he says in John chapter 4, verse 26, he says, Jesus said to her, after she says, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus then says to her, I who speak to you am he. Now, the problem in the English, you just read that and you don't realize that when normally in the Greek, I am is just one word. It's emi, E-I-M-I, if you want to transliterate it. But Jesus puts ahead of that word the word ego, which is the personal pronoun for I. So he just doesn't say, I am he, emi. He says, ego emi. And that's the way that in the Greek, you use the word that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai when he asked, who is your name? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. That's Exodus chapter 14, chapter 3, verse 14. Now, what is the significance of that? I like to translate I am who I am as I fulfill what I promise. And what has she heard as a promise from Jesus? That he would give her living water. And so when he uses the name for God and says, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again, because the water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. See, that's a promise, and that's what we mean by the gospel. The gospel promises are the benefits that a person receives because of the work of Jesus on the cross, at the resurrection, at the ascension, and he's now telling a Gentile woman, a Samaritan, this good news, which is, of course, a great example for us to talk to others who have a need to hear about the Lord.
And there's also, in addition to the disputes of this woman with Jesus, she eventually goes off back into the village. She tells the other villagers, in her words, I just met the Messiah, and he told me everything I ever did. He really hasn't done that, but she certainly takes it to mean that. And then their interest is piqued. What happens after that?
Yes. she goes back to the village. The disciple sees talking to a woman, but nobody said, you know, what do you seek and why are you talking with her? They're kind of quiet. And she goes back to the village and come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And then the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said, I have food to eat that you don't know about. So he moves into the same kind of conversation with the disciples that he had with the woman at the Samaritan well. And he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. And, of course, that language is referring to people who are ready to be harvested. He says, I sent you to reap that for which you do not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Then it says that many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And so when they came to him, he stayed with them 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. And they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, or we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Well, what's the lesson for the Sunday school children? Many of them will grow up and not be official individuals in the church, like pastors or teachers, but they can still share the message, especially during this Christmas season with their friends. We just had a new member at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm come to our public school confirmation because people were talking to her about the true meaning of Christmas. And she was with us, in fact, last night we had a party, and she's all excited. And in fact, one of her favorite hymns is a Christmas hymn. So she came to learn from the person who is representing Jesus now more in depth. So every child should be given this privilege of talking to others about the true meaning of Christmas, and perhaps they may come to a Christmas Eve, a Christmas Day, or certainly a vacation Bible school during the summer.
This shows Jesus, because he's headed to the cross here. He may be headed north at this particular moment, but his eventual goal is to get to the cross. And this woman's sins, as great as they are, he doesn't simply say, oh, everything's okay, we'll see you later. This is one of the, as you said, the elect. This is one of the persons that he has in mind to bring to faith in his sacrificial death for the whole world, isn't it?
Yes. In fact, the words from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the main word from the cross, and that shows us what Jesus really gave us as a benefit, is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because the Father forsook Jesus, not because he did sin, but according to 2 Corinthians, because the Father declared him to be a sinner for us, and he therefore had all the sins of the world upon himself. In fact, one of the points I'll be making for Christmas Day, I'm going to put a cross out on a table, and I say, you cannot understand the Bethlehem stable without the cross. You need to have the cross and the resurrection brought in, because that is the true meaning of Christmas, that he was born to die and pay for the sins of every person on earth.
So what is the law and gospel for the Sunday school children there in John chapter 4?
I think, and you know, we're using the Growing in Christ material here. They say, the law is, because of my sin, my soul is parched and dying. It is thirsty. The gospel is, the Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, gives me the living water from God's word and holy baptism to quench my spiritual thirst forever, which gives me new life in Christ. And I don't think I could have said it better.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel next week. We'll remain here in John chapter 4. Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus being rejected at his hometown at Nazareth. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
See, this is shows us how evangelism takes place. He will send his disciples out to two by two and in groups. He will send them eventually, in Matthew 28, into all the nations to carry the message of his death and resurrection to the entire world. He does, in fact, send his church. But that doesn't mean Jesus doesn't make the disciples. He makes every single disciple, including the Samaritan woman, all the way down to you and me. This is something that Luther Academy actually understands about so-called mission work. This is Christ's mission, and Christ is still busy on the mission field through his word and his sacraments. Luther Academy is serving Lutheran pastors and lay people to the ends of the earth. You can find out more about them, lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com. Sign up for their free email newsletter, LutherAcademy.com. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to get a review of the Star Wars movie Rogue One from Pastor Ted Giese, and we'll discuss Martin Luther on the Lord's Prayer with Dr. Ken Sherb. Jesus has this woman picked out from before the foundation of the world. He has all those villagers who heard first her and then him and had faith worked in their heart by the power of Christ's own word, and the Holy Spirit picked them out too. That means he's picked you out and he's picked out everyone who is brought to faith. There's no reason to get all worried about it. Jesus takes his leisurely pace through Samaria and picks a few disciples for himself, and he continues to do it throughout the world. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Just in time for the Christmas season, we've produced a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. and our sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 25th and January 1st. Talk radio and sacred music for the Christmas season. Issuesetc.org. Click support.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
Are you looking for a last-minute Christmas gift? Reformation Gear has produced a new Martin Luther plush figure featuring the 16th-century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Reformationgear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, reformationgear.com.